I suppose we ought to declare an interest here because, for reasons that will become apparent, the Partially Sighted Society, or PSS for short, knows our next two interviewees quite well. Aline and Brian Medcalf support specialist schools in Tanzania, which themselves support blind and partially sighted people. Aline and Brian have visited the country to distribute useful daily living aids, including bespoke, large, bold print stationery made here at the Partially Sighted Society. But they also make the necessary arrangements for it to be sent out to the East African country. PSS iTalk spoke with Aline and Brian about their work, the recycling of daily living aids from the UK, and how they've come to understand what is most wanted by those living with sight loss in a very different country to our own. We first asked Brian how this valuable service came to be set up.
Basically, because we've been out there volunteering at schools with blind and partially sighted people, we have the contacts there, we see the needs. And when we come back to the UK, we try and find resources that will help them. And there are many around because a lot of the technology for these people has moved on. So we have been able to get donations from organisations like PSS of things like magnifying glasses and other aids for the visually impaired, but in particular, the specialist exercise books they produce.
You talked about things like magnifying glasses. Are these the kind of items that, for example, that are fairly easily available in the UK?
They are indeed, and I think what happens is that people return unused items to the Partially Sighted Society when they're getting more modern equipment, and they found they had a very large quantity of these things, which were just sitting in store. And they very generously let us have anything that they had available when we'd been up to see them, collecting the books. They often have other things for us.
And Aline, is this a thing that you think could be, or maybe is, widespread, that people will, you know, need to update their magnifying glass for whatever it is? Because, of course, that has to be chosen for a particular individual's eye condition. So that could change with someone. They may then no longer need the one that they've had for the last few years. So, Aline, are you keen to put out the word that items like magnifying glasses or indeed other daily living aids could have a useful life after someone's used it here?
Well, that's certainly true, because the technology here has gone almost entirely, it seems, over to mobile phone usage. And certainly the magnifying glasses and other equipment that we have been able to send out, thanks to PSS's generosity, has been very gratefully received. However, the only thing I would say is that quite easily we have been able to meet the needs of the people who we are already in touch with. So while I'm sure there is a need, we would now have to research further to find more contacts to be able to continue to send out items such as magnifying glasses, which have a long life, as opposed to the exercise books, which get used up.
And just out of interest, Aline, are there other products that we could talk about? I mean, I presume things like long canes, cymbal canes, eye shades, or other products that you might be thinking could be useful?
Again, these items we have received and they have been very useful. There's definitely still a market for white canes, though they're not universally popular in Tanzania, because apart from anything else, they immediately mark a person out as being low vision or blind. And this can make them a target. So some blind people prefer not to use the canes, except in an environment where they feel quite safe. In terms of shades, we were extremely lucky. I think it was the year before last, we were asked to supply some. And through generosity, help from PSS, but generosity from other donors, we were able to supply a very large number of anti-glare glasses. There is still a considerable demand for just basic polarized glasses, ones without any prescription, just
yes,
reducing glare. Yeah.
It does make one think, doesn't it, that we do live in a throwaway society, and yet the usefulness of some of these aids does really go on. And that's clearly something that you've seen firsthand.
Yes, that's certainly true, because the original donations that we were seeking and that we received were simply for one school, the unit in the school where we had been working, and for the feeder school. The school where we worked is a secondary school, and there was a feeder school with blind and low vision students as well, which we were able to supply. But I think it would be about 3 years ago, they said, "We're really, really grateful for the things you're sending, but actually we have enough. Can we suggest that you look for other people to supply?" And they helped us make contacts in other areas. And there's a huge area, obviously, in Tanzania that we aren't covering. But at the moment, we don't have any other contacts.
So, Brian, I feel that I should be careful asking this question. But I mean, do you want to put the call out to people who may have a daily living aid, be it a magnifying glass, a long cane, a cymbal cane, a white cane, or any other aid that they've found useful that they don't need themselves anymore? Have you got the wherewithal to take donations? How does it work?
I think at the moment it's probably not necessary for us to have any more, because we basically are limited by what we can actually send through Articles for the Blind postage service. There's a weight limit, and also we have to make sure they're being sent to a bona fide organisation that deals with blind and visually impaired. What we tend to do is, if we are offered materials or items, we will consult with the people we know as to whether they would be useful before accepting them, because we've learned that certain things are probably not going to be very useful, especially items which involve batteries or electronics, which have a limited life in a country where electrical supply is not secure. But we do have contacts, and we've actually sent, I think, items, some of these exercise books, to a total of 10 different schools with special needs. And also the Tanzanian Albinism Society, because people with albinism have problems with vision, especially protecting their eyes. And that's a big need in Tanzania.
Aline, perhaps I could finally turn to you to talk about reading materials and whether you take those out to Tanzania, what formats they might be useful in, braille, large print or audio, and indeed how useful they are, bearing in mind that if they're coming from here, clearly they're going to be in the English language. Do you take talking books or large print books or braille books out to Tanzania?
Yes, we have sent some braille books out. Luckily, in Tanzania, although they have Tanzanian Kiswahili Braille, they use Universal English Braille. So anything that has been produced in Universal English Braille, as opposed to the standard English Braille, is of use to them. Part of the trouble with sending out Braille materials, though, is the weight of them, because they come, as you can imagine, quite heavy. But we have done it, and it can be done. With relation to talking books, there was a previous benefactor who supplied the school we started in with a number of talking books in the English language. But talking books, I'm talking about fiction books in that case, it's just not in the culture of the Tanzanian people to read for leisure. So actually, those don't get used very much at all. Any sound files that are sent out nowadays, actually, it's easier again not to do that, because there's been an advance in technology, which means that there's quite a lot of software now that is available where the original text can be in English or any other language and then be scanned into Kiswahili or vice versa. So electronic format is quite popular, certainly. And one of the tasks that has been undertaken in the past has been turning textbooks and test papers and other educational resources like that from English into Kiswahili, and also from the printed books by scanning and digitizing into audio files. But to some extent, that has been superseded now by more modern software, which means that actually nowadays, most people can do it themselves on their own computers.
Yeah, that does really make the point, doesn't it? How brilliant technology can be. You're talking about the translation. That's so important. But the other thing that really struck me about what you said, Aileen, and also Brian, both of you, clearly you understand the end user, the recipients, you understand their way of life. It's what suits them, isn't it, that matters. And clearly the good work that you have done and continue to do in Tanzania, obviously well received, but you also really know your audience, as it were, and that must be of great value. So thank you both very much indeed for talking to us today.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.